Well, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And I like to try to speak to you this morning about Christ, the Wonderful Counselor. That's my title for the message, Christ, the Wonderful Counselor. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, your word says that you walk among the lampstands and you're near to each one of us that is your people. And Lord, would you be pleased to draw very near to us in this time? Would you be pleased to help me, Lord, to speak as I ought to speak? And Lord, you loose my tongue and my mouth could declare your praise. And Lord, that the needy would be helped and would be real help in this. Lord, you give a thousand tongues to preach. And Lord, you just be with us. Lord, may this be a timely word, Lord, even for my own soul. Lord, may it be a timely word for the brethren. Lord, you know the struggles, you know different things. Draw near to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So right there in the text it says, he will be called Wonderful Counselor, speaking about the Lord Jesus. And really there, the word counselor there, it's probably more has to do with the idea of a counselor in a kingdom, one who would have wisdom on war tactics, one who would have wisdom on the building of a kingdom. And for the speaking about the Lord Jesus, it's talking about that he has all the wisdom. You know, his kingdom's going to be built. But that's not really the subject of where I'm going to do with this. I mean, I'm saying it's Christ is the Wonderful Counselor. And I know here in Isaiah, there's also some differences that some people put a comma after wonderful and say that's, it's just saying he's wonderful. Much like Judges 13 says, his name is wonderful. But I'm taking the idea of a counselor. And we can at least say this, that Christ is a wonderful counselor, right? If that's not what it's communicated here. And a counselor is someone, the word there for counselor is someone who gives advice. Someone that counsels, right? We see this other places in the scripture. I'm just kind of giving you a overview for where I'm going with this. It says in Psalm 16, and I would just encourage you, like I got, it'd probably be easier for you just to listen to all these different scriptures that I'm going to bring up. You know, I'm going to serve a meal and you enjoy it. If you like the recipe, I'll send it to you on email. You could ask Amelia or for that. But just listen to these things. You don't have to turn everywhere. Psalm 16 says, "I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel." So right there, the Lord's the counselor. Psalm 32, "I will instruct you and teach you in a way that you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you," the counselor. "You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will receive me to glory." In Psalm 73. But it's just, if you just say, well, the counselor means advice, it can sound very cold in a way. Well, what, the Lord just kind of infuses advice to us like a banker would if you go in to get a loan and he sits you down and kind of tells you everything you need to know, sends you on your way? Oh, it's way different than that. The Lord as the counselor, you ought to think the counsel of a most intimate or a most affectionate husband with his bride. That kind of counsel. Or the counsel of a most tender mother with a child. There's closeness there. There's friendship there. There's intimacy there with the Lord. We know in 2 Corinthians it says, talks about the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. All those things are wrapped up in the fact that Christ is a wonderful counselor. And, you know, it's really no mystery to the children of the burning heart, right? If you walk with the Lord for any amount of time, you know Christ has counseled you. Christ has been there. Christ has kept your tears or whatever it is. He's been that for you. But we need always to be reminded again, right? And that's what I want to do today. I may not share anything with you that's really new, but I will just stir you up by way of reminder that we might be helped more in our own personal lives with the Lord. You know, that we might really walk near Him in this place. It has so much relevancy, what we're going to look at today for your own life. The Bible says that through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. There's trials. You already know if you walk with the Lord, there's real trials. And you know, you don't know what a day may bring. You don't know what a day could bring in your life. There's disappointments that'll be ahead. There'll be bereavement. There'll be certain, some of you, the years go by, you may lose your wife. You may lose your husband. Some of us have had deep sins done to us or had times of falling into deep sin. We need a counselor for those things. And it's so very relevant. And like I said, it's really no mystery to the true Christian. We know Christ is a wonderful counselor. Jesus, what a help in sorrow. While the billows over me roll, even when my heart is breaking, He, my comfort, helps my soul. So let's look at some of the things. How is Christ a wonderful counselor? He's a wonderful counselor in this, that He's constantly with us. And you hear that truth and you think, oh yeah, I got that. I've heard that for a long time. But you have not plunged the depths of it, I guarantee you. The fact that Christ is constantly with us. And Matthew 28 says, "And behold, I am with you always." I mentioned in the prayer, Christ walking among the lampstands. It's like He's walking. You know, remember God walking in the cool of the day. There's imagery there pointing back to that, but just intimacy and fellowship that's there. And Christ really is among us when we meet together. He really is among us in our individual lives, near to each one of us, constantly with us, individually, as if we were the only Christian in the whole world, as if we were the only We were His only bride, you know, and His eyes continually on us. Octavius Winslow said that there is not a being in the universe so accessible as Jesus. You know, you think about great preachers. You like to sit down with our brother from East Asia and have him give you some counsel, or one of these preachers from the fellowship conference, you know. But even if you're able to secure some time with them, they can only spend a limited amount of time with you. They can't be with you always. You know, you think about possibly getting married. You know, some of us that are single or other things that, you know, oh, if I could just have a husband, if I could just have a wife. But the reality is that husband or that wife cannot be with you always. You know, the man, he's got to go off to work. You know, he's going to go off to work 9 hours a day. You're going to be alone if you're a woman and doing whatever the Lord would call you to do. And for one third of the week, that man's going to be unconscious, you know, just asleep. You can't talk to him. There's no intimacy there. But Christ, we know that he never slumbers. He never slumbers or sleeps. And no person, with all the counsel, with all the maturity that some of us have and all the tenderness that some of us have, no person can ever be what the Lord Jesus can be to you personally. And he's a wonderful counselor. And it really magnifies. It's like the Lord just ordained our lives to just really communicate this to us, that God is the gift that He gives. Just the way our lives are conducted, the fact that He would ordain for a man to go to work for a good portion of the day, one third of the night to be sleeping usually, you know, that He would just ordain. It's like the Lord was just in that communicating, He's the treasure. Christ is the treasure. He is the gift that He gives. You know, that is the treasure of the gospel, knowing Christ. What a wonderful counselor. He's for us in that way that he's constantly with us. Also, he knows us intimately. He knows us through and through. Psalm 139 says, "You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." It says that he's acquainted with all of our ways. Everything in our life to him is significant. He knows. He's near. He's near us, and he knows us intimately. Proverbs 14:10 says, "The heart knows its own bitterness, and no stranger shares its joy." The heart knows its own bitterness. That there's depths of things in our heart, that sorrows that we may have that we could share with other people. We could share about a struggle, and there may be another, some of the other brethren that have been through that same thing, and in measure they can enter in because they've been through that same thing. But the reality is, they do not know the depth of what's going on within you. They don't know the levels, how it fluctuates, how it ebbs and flows. They don't really know the depths of the bitterness. No one knows the depths of the joy. You know, there's joy that's inexpressible and full of glory. It's inexpressible. You can't really tell somebody with the peace that's in your heart at times when you know Christ and the joy of it. But more particularly, I wanted to bring that out to show no one knows its own bitterness but Christ. No one, even in the marriage relationship, no, your wife or your husband cannot know the depths of certain things that are going on in your heart, but Christ knows. He's a wonderful counselor. He's a wonderful counselor in that way. You know, there may be something that you're crying great tears, and someone that's very close to you that, you know, is holding you in that way, and through the tears, and there's real comfort. There's a measure of comfort there. You're glad that they care about you. Yet there's depths in the soul that they cannot know. There's something that, there's places in the heart that only Christ can touch, right? Only He can bring that balm in Gilead. You ever read that in Jeremiah? Is there a balm in Gilead? Yeah, Christ is the balm. Balm just means it's like the ointment. He's the ointment. There's things in your heart that you need to be healed of that only Christ can touch. He's a wonderful counselor in that way. He keeps track of our wanderings. He knows us. Psalm 56, "You have kept my count of my tossings, my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book?" You have kept count of my tossings. That can also be wanderings. When you begin to wander away from the Lord knows it better than anybody. When there's different things that you stumble with, the Lord knows. Also this, that He puts my tears in your bottle. It's like, in the midst, every sigh, every groan, every real tear, if it's not a tear of the eye, a tear of the heart, the Lord knows. It's like, imagine with a bottle, like you're crying and the Lord comes, and it's like he's gathering all those tears with his bottle. Just, he's wanting to communicate to us, he knows everything. He knows every sigh, every groan, he's entering in with it, he's taking count of it. He knows, and he's coming to counsel. He's a wonderful counselor. And he sympathizes with us in our weaknesses. We know this in Hebrews 4, that he's a great high priest. Not only that, he can sympathize with us, but he can actually give the power to overcome those things. And also this, that he's one with our spirit. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, "For as it is written, the two will become one flesh, but he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him." The marriage relationship, the most intimate relationship in the universe, that two become one flesh. There's union like that in the world. But here we see in the Word that it says one spirit with him, talking about the Lord. Flesh, spirit. Spirit, that's deeper. There's a deep, our union with Jesus Christ is deeper than any other union that there can be, even in the marriage relationship. It's deeper. He's a wonderful counselor in that way. In our very union with Christ, we are wrapped up in the Godhead, swept up in the love of the triune God. He comes and makes his abode with us. There's no union like that. He's a wonderful counselor in that way. He's a wonderful counselor in that He invites us to Himself. He's always beckoning the true people, even His true people, even in the midst of discipline. He says that simple verse there in Matthew 11:28, "Come to Me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord, the invitation, the invitingness of Christ. He says, "Come to Me." He said, "You come to Me, and all who are labor. If you labor, you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Again, another verse that you haven't plunged the depth of it. Just don't use that in evangelism. That's for the Christian as well. And he's inviting us. In Song of Solomon 2, it says, "Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the crannies of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me hear your voice, because your voice is sweet and your face is lovely." Christ saying that to us. It's true. "Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice." He says, "Oh, my dove." He's inviting to us. And every scripture, if you think about it, that's saying, "Come and worship the Lord," like in the Psalms. "Oh, come, let us worship. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker." Who inspired that psalmist to write that? The Lord did. Every admonition, every beckoning of everything is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. It's God saying to us, when we see, "Come, let us worship and adore Him," you come to Me and worship Me and adore Me. This invitation to every believer is really glorious. He's a wonderful counselor in that way. He also that he listens to us. We know, it says in John 9, we know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, God listens to him. If you're in this place today and you don't know Christ, you may pray a lot. But God does not listen. God does not listen to you. He knows about it, but yet there is no acceptance there. The Bible says if you are on the pursuit of sin, you're going after sin. I'm not talking about the struggles of sin, true believer. I'm talking about the lost man that's going after his sin. The Bible says even your prayer is an abomination to the Lord. And this isn't for you. These things that I'm saying, you need to be saved. You need to just admit it, that you are a wicked sinner. You are hell deserving. You do deserve the wrath of God. Your works can't do it. Only what Christ can do it. He's done it all. If you trust in Him today, He can be your wonderful counselor. But for the believer, the fact that God listens to us is really a glorious truth that we don't realize enough. You can get very used to praying and the fact that God hears you, but we need to kind of step back a lot and even maybe on the daily and just realize God listens to me. You know, Tim's been bringing out in the preaching, like, this mighty God, like, why would He even want to listen to me at all? You know, when I consider the heavens, the work of Your hands, who is man that You're mindful of me? But yet He tells us He hears us. In the Psalms all over the place, He has inclined His ear to me, for the Lord hears the needy in other places. You know, and what if one of these little kids came up to you, a four-year-old kid, and today after we get done, and he's pulling on your shirt sleeve and he wants to tell you something. You know, you'd bow down and say, what you got to hear, right? There'd be just that welcoming there. And the Lord is so much more like that when His people are calling on His name, that He's very near. He stoops down and listens to them. And He's a wonderful counselor in the sense that He gives counsel, you know, that the Lord does speak to His people. There's places that says He will speak peace to His people. He does all the time if we just realize it again. You walk with the Lord for a number of times, you can get used to the fact that God speaks to you, you know. But you need to think about it. That scripture verse that comes to mind, that hymn that comes to mind, it's the Lord speaking that to you, singing that over you at times, you know. Don't let it get wore off. And He counsels us. You know, that admonition that we have there in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle." That's the disorderly, the undisciplined, the unruly. Those are persisting in sin. Admonish them. Encourage the faint-hearted. Help the weak. Be patient with them all. The Lord Jesus perfectly fulfills this Scripture. You know, the reality is we don't always correct one another like we should. We don't always. Sometimes, for example, I think back in my own life. Some of you may know that by God's grace, I have a real close relationship with my sister. We moved down here together. And just looking back over the things, I'm just realizing, wow, I just did a whole lot of correcting a lot when many times she just needed an encouraging word. You know, that maybe correcting out of frustration or something like that, or a perpetual struggle to where instead of me being patient with her, I kind of gave her the truth, right? Maybe men are more prone to that. I don't know. There's no Bible verse on that, but you know that men is like, okay, let me just rebuke you and correct you and go on, instead of encouraging her, instead of, you know, speaking to her in a way that would be most of her edification, you know. But the Lord Jesus always speaks the right words. He says in Hosea 2 that, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. The Lord speaks tenderly to His people. Even in the midst of discipline, the Lord can speak tenderly. You remember Jonah when he's just in anger and in bitterness and lack of love? It's like the Lord comes to him and just says, do you do well to be angry? And how many times the Lord's even spoken that same thing to me, and it's that soft word that breaks the bone, right? It's like, Lord, I know it's not good. You know, the Lord just comes and He's so timely in His words. He knows exactly what to say to us at the right time, unlike anyone else. And Peter, even in the midst when we're in unbelief and we begin to fall, or we take our eyes off of the Lord. Remember there, it talks about He grabs Peter and holds him close, but yet He gently rebukes him. Where is your faith? So gentle with the Lord. He doesn't cast it off. He snatches it up and gently rebukes us. A wonderful counselor in that way. And He's also a wonderful counselor in that He is. So those things, those sorrows that we have, Tim was talking about in the prayer meeting, reading there from Octavius Winslow, he read that from it on that section. I think it's Lean Hard in that book there, that Christ's Sympathy to Weary Pilgrims. It'd be real helpful to you if you could ever get that. But he was talking about the Lord is the one who has shaped that sorrow. He made it. He's the one who laid it upon your back. So these different kind of sorrows and things that we know, the one that who is our counselor is the one who, out of His love and out of His goodness towards us, gave it to us, laid it on His back, laid it on our back that we might roll it upon His. This mighty God has all power as the counselor. There's a word in some of the Psalm 34. It says, "The Lord is near the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." When the Lord, He's almighty, when He sets out to save the crushed in spirit, when He sets out to heal the brokenhearted, that's what He does. And He does do that. He has all power to do it. This counselor is just not somebody who can pat us on the back or anything and sympathize with us, but can't help us at all. He's one who does help us. He has all power in that way. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. There in Psalm 147, when He aims to do it, He does it. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. I read some of the poetry of George Herbert. And there's a poem that he has. It's called Longing. And you just read it. It's really his prayer to God. Deep sorrow in the midst of it. He starts it out with like, with famished eyes and weary bones. Famished eyes, he's been crying. Weary bones. Talks about doubling knees. Weary bones. To Thee my sighs. To Thee my groans. To Thee my prayers. My tears ascend. No end. He's like, all these tears, I'm broken, I'm calling out to You. And at the end of the thing, it's not like the Psalms, it doesn't really end in this hopeful thing. I think the last stanza of this poem said, Lord Jesus, heal my broken heart that's been broken for so long that every part hath got a tongue. You know, just the brokenness that can be in the heart. He's saying that the pieces of it, it's broken for so long, every part of his heart is screaming out to the Lord for help. Can the Lord help in a situation like that? He most certainly does, right? He most certainly does. He comes forward and with his ointment, with his fresh graces, and he helps. He helps so much. He binds up the brokenhearted. And this is just not some little things. Like, you may have an issue in your life that's very, very deep, and you may feel like you need to run to everywhere but the Lord. Maybe the Lord can't help there, but the reality is only the Lord can really help and heal those wounds. Even the deepest of wounds, the Lord can heal it. There's some wounds that we wound ourselves with, right? Our own sin, you know, different things of the past or whatever, things presently maybe that God's currently dealing with you about, the Lord's able to heal those things. Now, I know in measure that it may be in the sovereignty of God to leave you with wounds and to leave you with brokenness over a certain thing because it's the best thing for you. But we should take those things before the Lord. We just shouldn't say, well, this is just kind of like my thorn in the flesh and I'm always going to be this way. You know, you're more prone to depression or whatever it may be. Well, this is just my weakness. No, take it before the Lord in prayer. Go to the wonderful counselor, not just one time, but all the time when it comes to mind, and see that balm in Gilead, as it were, right? See the Lord healing your heart over time and dealing with those deep wounds. He's our wonderful counselor in the sense that He gives us joy for sorrow. He gives joy for sorrow. Psalm 94 says, "When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul." The heart's full of cares, different sorrows, whatever it may be, but He says, your consolations. What are the consolations of God? Found in the Word of God, the promises of God, the truth of God, the things that the Lord speaks to us, things that the Lord shows us in the words. A Christian is not without examples of this. When times you're in the Word and the Lord just meets you, times in the singing, it just seems like the Lord just meets you, even through the hymns or an exhortation of the brother, different consolations that cheer the soul. Jeremiah says that, 31, "I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow." This is a promise of the Lord you can take before Him in prayer. "Lord, your word says you're going to give me gladness for my sorrow." It can be very real. And John 16 says, "So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." This is ultimately speaking about like what it says in Isaiah, that day when that ransom of the Lord will return and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads and sorrow and sighing will flee away. But isn't there something here, at least in our own experience, implication-wise, that there's a time of sorrow, and it's like there's a dark cloud, certain situation, whatever it may be, and the Lord comes again. It's like the clouds break, and you're able to see, you know, the light of His countenance, the sensible sense of His presence, and our hearts rejoice in that. It's like in those moments, no one can take our joy from us. There's just such reality. You know, when the Lord really draws near in that way. And Peter said, after you suffered a little while, the God of all grace, you know, that he'll comfort you in that way. And so the Lord as a counselor, what a friend of sinners Jesus is to the true believer. What a friend. What an intimate lover. What someone that's always close to us. He's the true husband to His bride. And we need to think about these things more. They'll help us in our prayer lives. They'll help us just in our walk with the Lord. They'll help us in the sorrows that you're going to face or may now be facing. But what are some practical points on this? This is just kind of some application. Thinking about Christ as the wonderful counselor. This, don't ever forget what it costs for Christ to become the counselor. So many people, we grew up in this false Christianity age. Almost everybody, you know, would say, oh, I can go to the Lord at any time. You meet people on the streets, they say, oh, I pray to the Lord all the time, you know. He's been, when really they're praying to an idol, we know, but, you know, they'd say that. They cheapen it so much. You know, it's almost like you have to strip down all this false forms of Christianity even to be able to deal with somebody about their soul in the day that we live in. But what did it cost for Christ to become our wonderful counselor? Peter says, for Christ also suffered once for us, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. Christ crucified. Christ bearing the wrath of God, bearing the sin of his people, taking hell on the cross, the wrath of God in full measure, drinking down that cup that he might be the wonderful counselor to his people, is the greatest gift. Christ is the greatest gift, and it's at the greatest cost of his own life to the most undeserving. Never, never forget who you used to be. You used to be an idolater, a God hater, before the Lord saved you if you're a Christian. And now you get Christ as your wonderful counselor. The greatest gift has been given to you that could be given. Christ himself. Not only do you get to know him now, but you get to know him for all eternity. You know him. Another thing, don't doubt the wonderful counselor's love for you. In Song of Solomon 4:7, you are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. And some of us probably just need to take this verse or verses like it when you come upon it and pray over them. God, show me this. Help me to understand this. Help me to rest in this truth. Help me to believe it. You know, sometimes we fast for people to be saved, but have you ever just fasted that God might convince you more of his love for you? You know, set out, surely he'll reward. Something like that. Don't doubt the Lord's love for you, because when you begin to doubt it, when you start to be like, you know, when in the Gospels, when Jesus healed those lepers, when they were lepers, they knew they were lepers, they're outside the colony, it says they're calling out to him from far away, you know, come and heal us, basically, or something. And the Lord heals them. And you remember that one of those men, when he realized that he had been cleansed, he went back to the feet of Jesus and worshiped the Lord. At the feet, once someone who was standing far off, now he realizing that he is cleansed, goes to the feet of Christ. And we really desperately need this, some of us more than others, to realize that we have been cleansed. We have been cleansed by our sin. We don't need to live at a distance from God. You know, even in the midst of God's discipline, you don't want to feel like you can't come boldly before the throne. The Lord disciplines those he loves. Some of us just need to cry out more to God to help us realize that we wouldn't live at a distance from God. But if we can just believe God's love for us, then we're going to live really near the Savior. You're going to be in a safer place than you would be. Because when you're not abiding in the Lord's love, temptations can be very real, you know. It talks about rejoicing in the Lord in Philippians, that it's safe. Rejoicing in the Lord is safe. Rejoicing in his love. Even if you don't feel it, not living by feelings, but putting the truth of God's word at the center of your life and crying out to the Lord, you know, that you would believe these things to be true, even when all else may point the other way. So another practical point, don't run too quickly to earthly counselors. You know, sometimes we get in trouble and first thing we want to do is run to a brother or a sister to tell them about it. Now, we should do that. Sometimes we need to do more of that. Some of us need to be more open, more transparent with people, you know. And we need to confess sin to the brethren. We need to have how can we bear one another's burdens if we don't know what those burdens are, right? We need to tell one another about it. But there is a tendency sometimes to run too quickly to other men. You know, that person that always has a real good word for you. Instead of running to the Lord. You know, I think we would find out a lot if we would take those things that we're troubled about, take it right to the Lord. Lord, what would you say to me? Lord, how would you counsel me on this? God brings a scripture to mind. It's exactly what you needed right there. Say you're at work and you're like, oh, I can't wait to get off. I need help with this problem so I can talk to that other brother. When you're right there at work, the wonderful counselor is with you always. Lord, what would you say to me? You know, and it may be that God says to you, you need to go talk to that brother. You know, it may be that. So you just have to, there's no law for what I'm saying here. You just got to be led of the Spirit. But there can be a tendency to run to people too much. There can, and those of us that give advice, those of us that people actually come to us for advice, we need to be very careful and sensitive to the Spirit that we're not making that person too dependent on us. You know, when they come to us and it seems like they're always asking for advice and we give them, they're going to be, instead of them, their own self hearing from the Lord, they're going to be very dependent on us instead of the Savior, you know. And for those of us, a practical thing would be, say there's someone that really needs counsel and you're kind of sensing, maybe you're a little bit more mature to them in the faith and they look up to you, you kind of sense that, they're asking you for advice a lot. And it may be just real helpful to ask, well, have you prayed about it? And they're like, yeah, well, what do you think the Lord's telling you? And they may, maybe God has told them something, you know, and it seems like, yeah, that, and you're using discernment, it seems like that's helpful from the Lord. Don't now go and preach him a sermon and add all this stuff around it. You can just say, well, brother, it sounds like, or sister, it sounds like you've heard from the Lord already. And what that can do to someone, it's like, man, I heard from the Lord. You know, I'm discerning the will of God. You know that, because God speaks to his people individually. Each person has the same access to him. So you see what I'm saying with that? You can make people too dependent on you, especially, I'm out of my realm here, but especially in the marriage relationship, that can be true. Because you know there can be men, like we're called to lead the daughter of God to shepherd her, but we want to shepherd her in such a way that if we die, she's going to stand, right? And if she's, now God made man to be the leader, so there's balance here. So don't think I'm speaking in overstatements or whatever. You need more balance in this probably. That the woman comes or whatever and she needs advice. Maybe go pray about it. You know, see what the Lord might tell you. She comes out, she's got a word. It seems like she heard from the Lord. Don't add your own sermon to it. Just confirm her. It sounds like you heard from the Lord. You know, that's good. And that's going to just strengthen her more and more to where if God takes you to glory before her, she's not going to be overly dependent on you. You know, we got to realize that Christ is jealous over us individually. You know, that he's jealous for our love. He's jealous for our affections. And he's gonna see to it that's the case. You know, So that's one area then, but also this, pour out your heart before the wonderful counselor. That's a practical thing. Pour out your heart. Do you do that? Always and often, pour out your heart. It seems like it's definitely one of the really walking near the Lord is pouring out your heart before him. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in the Lord at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. It says, pour out your heart before him. Pour it out. The Lord knows all things, right? He knows exactly what we're going through. If we're anxious, we can just say, Lord, I'm anxious. Help me. And there's going to be help there. But there will be something in our own soul that God can do if we will lay specific things on the Lord. Like sometimes, for example, you may get with a brother, you tell him the whole case, you're laying it out. It took 20 minutes for you to talk about it, but when you go to the Lord, you just say, Lord, help me. Now, is there going to be help there? Yeah. We've heard something in the fellowship conference, little prayers. I'm not saying little prayers are not mighty. They are. You should pray them. You know, God really own them. But there can just be a soothing element in helping in the relationship and getting more help of taking every anxiety before the Lord, every fear, every worry, every sorrow, and tell Him the whole case specifically. Tell Him everything, and it's like the Lord is opening up your heart, you're pouring it out. It talks about in Lamentations 3, pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. It's like, here's the cup of sorrow filled to the brim, right? I want to, in my prayer life, I want to, and we need to do this, I want to pour it all out specifically to the Lord, realizing He cares about it. Every heart thing, the things that you will face even today, different kinds of discouragements, different kinds of maybe flashes of self, you need to take that before the Lord. Pour out your heart before Him. Talk to Him about your desires for nearness with Him. It's a key to walking with the Lord. And tell Him everything. Go tell Jesus, you know, the little book by Octavius Winslow says. Tell Him about your backslidings. Tell Him about your sin. Tell Him about your desires. Tell Him about your crushed spirit. Roll it on the Lord, Psalm 52 says. Cast your burden on the Lord. That word is actually to roll. It's like the burden, the boulder of sorrow and life's things is rolling on you. Through prayer, I'm going to roll it on God. I'm going to roll it on Him. And it may be 30 seconds later, it begins to roll back on. See, that's our problem. Sometimes we just pray once and say, well, it's like unbelief. You know, we didn't think. There's certain things that we not only need to roll on the Lord, but through our prayer and the promises of God and the truth of God, keep that boulder up there. You know, it's like, I'm going to roll it on the Lord through prayer. I'm going to take a stake of a promise of God. I'm going to stick it there. I'm going to stick this there, right? So it can't roll on me. And then, for whatever reason, you keep, all of a sudden it's on me again. I'm going to roll it on the Lord again. It doesn't this magnify Christ that we are weak and He is strong? It shows Him to be the supreme treasure. And also this, ask the Lord for advice. I mentioned some things like that. Ask the Lord for advice. When there's a heart thing, Lord, what would You say to me? Lord, what would You say to me in this thing? And the Lord will bring scriptures to mind and, you know, or whatever. I don't know how the Lord always deals with us. And we need to be careful with this. There is the accuser of the brethren, right? He knows the scriptures too. We need to use discernment. God can help us in that. His sheep hear His voice. And Lord, what would You say to me? Not just big things, but even in little things, you know? That I heard about a lady that she was supposed to decorate a room, and she didn't really know how to decorate it. She asked Jesus, how should I decorate this room? I guess the Lord flooded her mind with ideas and the room just came out beautiful. Do you pray about things like that? Do you pray about things like that? You got a big schedule? You know, that day? Or, Lord, what should I do today? Lord, what's the best use of time here? There can be things in the Christian life. There's all these good books to read. There's all, you know, you're a new Christian or you're an older Christian. It's like you look at the Bible and it's like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I still feel like that. I don't even know what I'm doing when I come to the Lord. My best times in prayer and in the Word are when I'm just like, Lord, I don't even know how to pray. Lord, what can I do? Or different things where should I read in the Scriptures? Lord, where should I read? Lord, what should I do with this time? What book should I be reading right now? Lord, how should I use the day? Or, Lord, what would be the best way? I got all these things to do today. What would be the best thing to do first? What? And the Lord is just such a shepherd in those things. You know, you talk about practicing the presence of God. Don't think those things that you pray about are not holy and you can't pray about them. It's all holy in the Christian life, right? You think about men like Brother Lawrence. I haven't read the book, but I've heard some about him that practice the presence of God. He said he wanted to make every thought a prayer. You know, that there can just be such an intimacy with the Lord if we can do these things. Always speaking to them, having prayerful hearts, even in the midst of a crowded room. Lord, what would You say to me? You're speaking to somebody in fellowship. Lord, what would be the best thing to talk about right now? Lord, what could be edifying to this brother? Somebody's giving you a counsel. Lord, help me. What should I say to them? They're asking you for counsel. Listening to the wonderful counselor has great rewards. This is in closing. Has great rewards. He says in Psalm 81, hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel. if you would but listen to me, hear the Lord, my people, if you would but listen to me, oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways, I would soon subdue their enemies, right? What kind of enemy do we have? Sin, the world, and the devil. Many times in the midst of temptation, and you know it if you're a true believer, it's not that God is not speaking to you, right? Don't eat that. Don't do that. Don't say that there. I don't know how the Lord speaks to you, you know, but the reality is the sheep hear his voice. Listen to him. When he's saying, don't do that, don't say that, whatever, bringing the scripture to the mind. Oh, that you would listen to him. He would soon subdue their enemies. A lot of the things that we struggle with, simply because we're not listening to the Lord on that matter. We're asking him for advice. He would soon subdue your enemies and turn my hand against their foes. The devil is coming with blasphemous thoughts or assurance of salvation issues. Take it before the Lord. Lord, what would you say to me? Lord, how do I do this battle with assurance? What can I do? Whatever the Lord would tell you there. Those who hate the Lord would cringe towards him, and their fate will last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. What's the finest of the wheat? What's the honey from the rock? I mean, I really don't know exactly, but I can tell you this, it's good, right? That knowing the Lord, listening to the Lord, honey from the rock, manifestations of Christ. Closeness with Christ. That is the believer's portion. Christ is the treasure. You know, that's what God's doing in our lives. He wants to show us that he's the wonderful counselor, that he's all that we need. Whom do I have in heaven but you? And on the earth, there's nothing that I desire besides you. In all my other relationships, I'm desiring him. In all my other relationships, as I see Christ in that person, there may be such a love there. I know that they are only a drop of water, but he is the ocean, that he is the treasure, and he's such a wonderful counselor. We need to live more near him and tell him these things. Well, may the Lord help us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, please just show us more that you're the wonderful counselor. Lord, the deep burdens of the brethren and the deep things that, Lord, would you bring healing? Lord, you said that you'll heal the brokenhearted. Lord, would you heal the brokenhearted today? Lord, would you bind up their wounds? Lord, we thank you that you're always with us. We thank you that you're the treasure. Lord, show us more of the reality of it, more than we've ever known. Lord, that we might walk near you in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.